You're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
4:05 on a Friday. Producer Ben Harrison in as our co-juror.
Hello, hello.
As we get his mic on and enter Entertainment Court with Richard Krause.
Order in the Entertainment Court. Let's get judgy.
Court is now in session.
Judge Krause, may I approach the bench?
Of course you can. I've been waiting all day to get judgy with you guys.
What is the first case?
The online streaming bill, C-11, will lead to an $86 million annual surge in Canadian television production and may lead to more TV and film being classified as official Canadian content, according to the internal messages from the Heritage Department. I'm wondering here, though, about the changes to the Canadian content rules. The $86 million, I'm all for. That's all work. That's new jobs for crews and actors and everyone. I'm very pleased with that. New money for people creating things on YouTube. But my question to you is, do we need to redefine what Canadian content is, as they're suggesting we might have to do?
I think so. Absolutely. Updating the definition of Canadian content in 2023 is essential, because if it hasn't been updated since the 1990s, we're living in a completely different world than we used to. When you have veterans in the Canadian music, film, and TV industries backing this with a little bit of concern, understandably, but if they're behind updating the definition to make sure that the largest number of eyeballs are seeing the content that they're making, I think that updating it is absolutely essential.
Yeah, we're always late to the game claiming what's Canadian anyway. I think this might be a big waste of money, but I can see why my co-juror and others in the industry are looking for a redefinition, Judge.
I am happy for any efforts that are made to promote Canadian content and bring YouTube creators to the Canadian industry in a way that they currently aren't. But the thing that I really am bothered by, that kind of gets under my skin about this, is that the definition of what will be considered CanCon is going to be expanded. And I think that's kind of problematic unless it's done in a really thoughtful way. We've been tinkering with and talking about this for 50 years or more in this country. Many productions that are made in Canada don't currently tick enough boxes to be certified as Canadian, but under these new changes, that might change. So you might get a movie like Turning Red, which could be considered CanCon because it was directed by a Canadian, stars Sandra Oh, and doing some voice work here, and it takes place in Toronto, but it was produced entirely in the United States by Pixar. So is that a Canadian film or not? Is The Last of Us or Yellow Jackets Canadian content? Both were shot in various parts of Canada, Calgary and Alberta. Could they be considered Canadian content because they were shot here on and used presumably crews and gave a lot of people jobs? I think that we have to be really careful, because it's an important designation, because it opens up avenues for tax breaks, and with that come a lot of financial shenanigans. I do think it needs to be modernized, but not to the extent where it will no longer be an advantage to Canadians who are actually making movies and shows in Canada with Canadian talent. And that is my verdict.
All right. What's our next case, Judge?
The next case, we're talking about Alec Baldwin. This has been in the news. New facts were revealed that demand further investigation and forensic analysis in the case. Is the headline. Involuntary manslaughter charges against Alec Baldwin in the 2021 fatal shooting of Rust cinematographer Halya Hutchins will be dropped. But the New Mexico prosecution said that the decision doesn't absolve the actor of any criminal liability, and that there will be further investigation and there could be more charges. The question here is, do you think that will happen? Is Baldwin off the hook for the death of Halya Hutchins?
The speculation, man, somebody died, and the speculation was he's executive producer on this film too, right? So there's a responsibility there, in addition to him being the actor who was holding the weapon. I don't like this headline, and I think it's going to hurt Hutchins' family. And I wonder if charges would have been dropped if his name wasn't Baldwin.
Yeah, if Baldwin was just an actor on this movie, that would be one thing. If he was just handed a prop from somebody who wasn't doing their job properly, that would be one thing. But when you're in a position of authority as a producer, overseeing this production, making sure that the people hiring the people that are hired on this movie are doing everything right, this is on him.
I agree with you. This has always been a complicated case. And I think as an actor, Alec Baldwin is less responsible because he was relying on an armorer whose job it is to make sure that the weapon is safe before it makes it onto the set. Tragically, that didn't happen. That is more than unfortunate, but I don't think it's entirely Baldwin's fault, even though he was holding the gun. If an electrician makes a mistake while wiring your home, it's the electrician's fault, not yours, if it causes a fire and people are injured. Where Alec Baldwin may be liable, and this is for the courts to judge, is as one of the producers who cut corners on a set to save money and hired an inexperienced armorer. That frugal approach put people's lives in danger and unfortunately cost Halyna Hutchins her life. And that is my verdict.
Judge Krause, what is your final case?
So Halsey, the singer, and Capitol Records are going their separate ways. They have both made this announcement. For Halsey, things reached a boiling point in May 2022 when they wrote a song and wanted a music video for it to be released at her request, meaning not straight away. The record company disagreed. They wanted it to come out immediately. They wanted it to come out on TikTok specifically. And they tried to create what Halsey is calling a fake viral moment on TikTok. And my question here for you then is, should artists have the final say over how their work is represented, or does the record company, who are paying for everything, have the final say?
I'm going to have an unpopular opinion here because I'm always team artist. But in this case, if a label is paying for the marketing, for the distribution of your music, if they're in charge of things, they're going to be the ones that have the final say. So go independent. I know it's a huge ask, but I think Halsey could do well in this case going independent.
Oh, come on. Does the executive producer tell the actor how to act? That's what's happening here, right? I think she should have creative control. If you are the record company, you are investing as maybe a silent investor. The creativity and the marketing is part of the creativity, is the brand of the artist. I'm still on the artist's side on this one, Judge.
I'm on Halsey's side here, too. I'm not sure what will happen with her career moving forward, but I applaud the big swing she's taking here. She's a very big star and will likely be fine and get snapped up by an artist-friendly label or not, or create her own label and go completely indie. Perhaps there will be a new Halsey-led label in the next few months where she could call all the shots, exercising the kind of freedom and control that is so often denied artists who work with large corporations. Years ago, to get out of a record deal that no longer served him, Lou Reed released Metal Machine Music, an album so unlistenable that he hoped the record label would finally drop him and he'd be free of their input. Halsey didn't go to that extent. Instead, in an age of pre-packaged pop, she chose artistic integrity and walked away to a possibly uncertain future. If more artists did that, perhaps we'd get a lot more interesting music. And that is my verdict.
Awesome. Judge Krause, thank you so much. Wishing you a lovely weekend.
Thanks to you too. Stay dry.
It's true. It's going to be a rainy one. Richard Krause joining us live on The Rush. We always love that Entertainment Court segment. Thank you, co-juror Ben Harrison.
Thank you.
Coming up on the other side, we have a surprise visit from Brett House. He usually joins us for our Dollars and Cents segments earlier in the week. He's coming back today to talk about how this federal worker strike could impact the economy. It already is. Could it kickstart a recession? Hear what Brett House has to say next.